is up. Thank you for tuning in to the MMA Podcast 202. As always, a ton to break down this past weekend. Rory McDonald putting on a show at Bellator 179 against Paul Daly. Talk a little bit about that. Talk a little bit about the UFC Fighter Summit, which happened to be just a drunken weekend of debauchery. A little bit about that. Some changes at UFC 213, including a new Romero-Whitaker fight that should be off the chain. And, of course, wrap it up, talk a little UFC Fight Night 109 this coming Sunday. We got a big card from Sweden. Alex Gustafsson taking on Glover Teixeira. That should be a fun one. All that and more this week on the MMA Podcast. Let's do it. Go! We did it for the love of the game.
You're listening to the MMA Podcast!
What is going on? Thank you for tuning in to the MMA Podcast 202 on the road this week, so apologies for the lack of quality, but we're here, we're trying, we're talking MMA, as always, joined by your co-hostess with the mostest, Sweet Pappy Jones, Pat, all the way on the other side of the country on the West Coast. Pat, what's going on, brother?
Oh, just hanging out, Jake. It's a blustery Southern California afternoon here this Wednesday, May 24th. It ain't Christmas Eve over here.
Oh,
God damn, speaking of shit we need to edit out and post. It is beautiful, though. How's everything going in Tally?
Yeah, you know, I'm actually here on the road in Gainesville seeing some buddies. I used to live in Gainesville. I am an alumni of the University of Florida, and my dad actually lives here too, and it's his birthday this weekend, so I'm here for a few reasons. I'm at a buddy's now here to see and wish my dad a happy birthday, and I guess this part of Florida has been going through a drought or something, and it's been raining all damn day, so good that I guess this area is getting a little bit of weather. That's actually what we're going to talk about the entire podcast. We're going to talk about weather and how humid it's been in Florida and the drought. And no, we're not going to talk about that. We're going to talk MMA. We're going to talk, what are we going to talk? Not the busiest week, but we still had a few things going on, I guess, last weekend. We had a Bellator 179 card, which had an interesting main card. I don't think there was really much to talk about on the prelims, but we saw baby Kimbo, Kevin Ferguson Jr., step out there at welterweight, get a first-round TKO, do his dad proud. Chick Congo was a big favorite, but only won a split decision against Augusto Sakai, who performed better than a lot of people thought he would. Also, I believe this was another decent upset too. Linton Vassell, who I think that's the first time I've pronounced his name right. I think I've always said Linton Vassell. Apologies, but he defeats Liam McGeary via sub, and we all know Liam has decent jits. So huge shout out to the Englishman Linton Vassell, who now is on a 3-fight winning streak, beating Emmanuel Newton, Francis Carmont, and Liam McGeary there at 205. Maybe put him in the picture. And you know what? This is, I mean, I will talk about the Rory fight in a second, but I'm like, I don't know, for a while there, I cared about, you know, Strike Force champs and all that, and then the UFC bought up Strike Force. And it's been hard to really keep track of all of the Bellator champions, especially when, you know, at certain times, like, certain weight classes in Bellator got absolutely no attention. I mean, for the longest time, I think their heavyweight class had a champion who wasn't even in Bellator anymore or something. I don't know. I don't think I've ever really been this interested in all the title pictures going on in Bellator, but now as they've sort of picked up more and more guys like Phil Davis, guys like Rory McDonald, guys like Bindo, guys like who else? Your boy, what's his face? The kid, Josh Thompson. And then you have this huge event coming with guys like, you know, I mean, matchups like Sonnen Silva, Fedor Mitrione. You got Chandler and Lima, who are both champs. You have Aaron Pico making his MMA debut. It's going to be very interesting. And I think, I think kind of to put that rant, kind of make it a lot shorter and encapsulate it, so to speak. I really think Bellator is starting to really compete with the UFC on a level we haven't seen since the UFC bought out Strikeforce. And that's awesome to say, because what makes this sport better is competition. We've seen it with Pride. We've seen it with Strikeforce. We saw it in wrestling with the classic WWE versus WCW thing. I mean, the
Monday Night Wars.
Yeah, the more competition is out there, the more you're going to drive your competition to do better and better and better.
Yeah, that's a really great point, Jake. And I almost wonder though. It's Bellator has been doing good. Yeah, I mean they've been. I almost wonder though. It seems they've really been acquiring a lot of the released UFC talent. That's kind of been really most promotions that aren't the UFC. Yeah, they have their rosters of regional talent from wherever they may be, and then they'll do their best to acquire, you know, whatever large prospects or, you know, notable prospects or names that were in the UFC just for headlining purposes, things like that. And it does seem that Bellator is getting more higher caliber, not just fighters that like washed out of the UFC, you know, they lost four fights in a row and now they're cut, but actually guys that decided to go over to Bellator, you know, for money purposes, sponsorship purposes. And it does seem to be good in that respect. It does seem to be creating some a higher level of competition for the UFC. My only thing is whether Bellator is actually still progressing as a company, I don't know. I kind of wonder. I still liked Bellator since its inception. It was always about the tournaments. It started out as a tournament-based promotion. You know, the title shots were earned, not given. You had to win the tournament to get the belt, to get the shot at the belt. And it was good because really no other promotion was really doing a lot of tournaments at the time. And they weren't the one-night tournaments that, you know, MMA started out as, but they were getting them done really quick. I mean, you know, maybe 6 weeks, 8 weeks to get a tournament done. It was good viewing. It certainly, you know, it made all the weight classes a lot more interesting made the development of talent. Even, you know, you could see the Bellator-grown fighters, if you will, watch them kind of develop in their own ranks. And I don't know, I kind of miss those days. I feel like, Bellator is competing, but I feel like they're kind of just turning into a clone of the UFC. And maybe the UFC is kind of borrowing some of Bellator's tactics, too. Both, you know, they're getting a little pro wrestling in it sometimes. And I kind of wonder about the direction. But you know, yeah, they're definitely growing, and with Viacom backing them, they certainly don't look to be going anywhere anytime soon.
Yeah, now the UFC has all these feeder leagues like RFA and I don't know, no others. It's structured a lot different than it was back in the day when Strikeforce and Pride were their major competition. But the main event, Bellator 179, was Rory versus Paul Daly. I called a huge upset. My buddy Ross said that I was only calling the huge upset so I could say that I called it, and he was probably right. It was really not based on any sort of logic at all. And Rory McDonald easily cruised to a victory. Second round rear naked choke. What did you think of that fight?
Oh yeah, that one pretty much. pretty much went as I had thought, as I had expected for that one. Rory McDonald just complete outclassing. It was all just too much for Paul Daly. Good showing for Rory. I mean, it shouldn't be too long before he's in there for the 170-pound belt. I mean, I'd imagine that's probably got to be his next fight, right? I mean, I don't know if he has one more fight before the championship. I can't even really recall who they might give him.
Lima is the champion right now. I think he's fighting at 180. He's fighting Lorenz Larkin. That'll be a good fight.
Yes. Yeah, that's going to be great.
I know Rory McDonald, I think he made $400K in this fight, which is, I'm sure, great compared to what he was making in the UFC. And I think he said, I don't know if he said in the post-fight presser or after the fight in the ring or what, but I think he said he wants super fights against guys like Fedor, Vanderlei, which, I mean, doesn't make a lot of sense, but I would still sign up to watch those fights for sure. You know, he's obviously a little bit smaller. I mean, is he, though? He's a giant. Well, welterweight, I mean, standing next to Vanderlei, who's fought just a weight class up, I'm sure he wouldn't look that small. And, you know, Fedor, too, is what, like 5'10"? He's a tiny heavyweight.
Sorry about that. Damn mute button. Yeah, no, I mean, really, Rory McDonald, certainly, he has to be the same, I want to say physically, frame-wise, like, at least height and reach has to be right there with Fedor and Vanderlei. I don't think there's that much of a discrepancy for either one. And heck, you know, you incorporate the speed and athleticism in there. I mean, Rory might come out looking not too bad in a couple of those fights.
Yeah. We got Rory versus Daly. Anything else you got on this card?
I think that's about it. As you mentioned, Vassal over McGeary was a pretty good upset. Pretty good upset there. Some decent action for Bellator on Friday night.
Yeah, and probably going to be a pretty short show this week, because no interview, which we are looking whenever Ben Askren, if you do want to watch the fight live, it's 1FC. I think his fight will probably kick off maybe around 9:30, 10 in the morning Eastern on Friday morning, I believe, because I think it's going down Friday night in Singapore. And the difference, I think, is you just switch the AM and PM. They're 12 hours ahead. And I think it's going to be Friday night around like 10 or 11 PM there. So, yeah, Askren fighting another no-name bum over there. I think Angela Lee is on the card, too. Both of them heavily favorited in their fights. But, yeah, looking to get Askren on when he comes back from Singapore. There really wasn't much news-wise. Pat, we were talking about the UFC, Fighter Summit, where it seemed like just a complete shit show.
Yeah, the 2017 UFC fighter shit show.
Yeah, what did you want to talk about first? Because there was a lot. There was a drunk Bud Light rep. There were multiple fights between fighters. There were people leaving, people getting kicked out, people hate tweeting each other. It was a good. It was probably the worst thing the UFC could have pictured PR-wise. But, I guess Cyborg assaulting Magana was the headline of everything that happened.
Yeah, that was, especially the past couple of days, that really has been the biggest brouhaha over that. Really, Magana getting bashed. Both in real life and on Twitter, after she decided to do a "Who wore it better" between herself and Jigsaw from Saw. I want to say that was the little Muppets, little creature's name in those movies. Great movies. And I laughed. I laughed a lot when I saw the comparison. Thought it was pretty dang good.
What was the comparison again?
The the puppet slash doll thing from Saw.
The puppet from Jigsaw to, oh my god, that's hilarious.
You'd have to see the picture. Like, there's a picture of her, and it was pretty good. It was pretty good. So the only thing is, though, what makes me a terrible person for laughing at it, and Magani a terrible person for tweeting it and doing the comparison, is this was when Cyborg was visiting children with cancer. And so she's making fun of Cyborg as, you know,
bad
at
look.
A benefit.
Very bad look.
For children with cancer. Yeah, not the best look. Granted, you know, I thought it was pretty funny. So anyways, Cyborg just apparently has had a whole, you know, she's just had an impacted ass full of people talking shit about her for whatever reason throughout her career, for her looks or for, you know, the PED speculations, which really aren't speculations anymore. You've been popped a couple times, and, you know, but was given a retroactive exemption for one of them. But, you know, you're trying to help kids with cancer. You're doing a benefit for kids with cancer, and people are talking shit on you. Like, that's kind of crazy. So, understandably, Cyborg, you know, looks like she confronts her in the streets, and Angela, to her credit, not being a pussy, she says, hey, I can talk shit about whoever I want to talk shit about. That I will respect. You know, she's going to get on the internet, she's talking that shit, and then she's not making any excuses in real life. She says, yeah, I'm talking that shit, and I'm talking that shit about you, and I will talk that shit about you. So at least props for having the balls to say that. But then, now, allegedly, the video, you know, I don't have the best eyes. Maybe I'll leave that to somebody else. But allegedly, I couldn't tell for certain from the video, but allegedly Cyborg punched Angela Magana. There were witnesses gasping. Allegedly, she endured a laceration, but, you know, Magana tweeted some pictures the next day. It didn't even look like any bruising. You know, she had a big old shit-eating grin. Still have all my teeth, blah, blah, blah. You know, and, man, just, I don't know. It's been quite the scene. Cyborg has, you know, gotten on her soapbox and saying, you know, this is Dana White's fault and the UFC's fault. This is a systemic, you know, a or maybe not a systemic, but a built-in, I'm sorry, an inherent kind of part of the culture in the UFC. You know, they were calling me, what was that?
Big words here on the podcast. Hell
yeah. Big words.
Systemic
throw them around.
Failure.
$10 words here. Yeah, and, you know, saying, oh, you know, Dana White used to call me Vanderlei in a dress, blah, blah, blah. You know, so the fighters do it, and they think it's okay. And, you know, which I really, I don't know. I certainly, Dana White has had lots of bad looks in the past and continually gets bad looks for things all the time. I really don't know what any of that has to do with this situation, which is, you know, someone's talking shit about you online and allegedly you punched them in real life. I don't know. It's, and then Dana White saying, oh, we're gonna look into this thing, but it's, hey, what happened with Kevin Lee and Michael Chiesa? You know, are you gonna be looking into that when you had Kevin Lee talking shit on, or, you know, he was trash talking and
Kevin Lee not only brought up the dude's mom, but then he's the first one to throw. I feel like in a scuffle like that, when someone's mom is brought up and that's why you're going nose to nose, I feel like the first punch has to be the guy whose mom is in question, not the guy who brought, like, you can't bring up homie's mom and be the first to throw in that situation. Come on.
And, yeah, and
Double Jeopardy or some shit.
Right, exactly. That's just, you are a gigantic douche, my friend. I apologize, but that is a huge douche move. So it's like, well, what's worse? You know, and this was at a press conference, you know, in front of all these people. Now, I don't know. It just, shit show for all reasons, and really, I think You know, now that we're even talking about it, Jake, I think maybe why Cyborg brought up Dana White and the whole thing is really because this is what's encouraged. They want the shit show. They want the shit storm. But they don't want it in the parking lot. They want it on press day. You know, the UFC is going to pay those fines probably. That's if there are any fines for Kevin Lee or whoever. And, but I want to say it's just due to the fact that this was an isolated incident outside of where Dana White was in a position to profit from it. And the UFC, you know, they can't generate any hype off of it. They didn't have their film crews there. They didn't get a good shot of the punch or the throw or anything like
that.
That's
such a great point.
You know, so, you know, now it's very serious and it needs to be looked into. You know, if this were some closely supervised bullshit, like the Michael Chiesa, Kevin Lee, this would be, you know, completely different story. I don't know. I'm ranting over here, Jake. What do you think is?
Dude, I never even thought of it from that side. But I'm sure now, you know, when the UFC puts out a video and it's the highlights of a presser, is it ever John Anik being like, well, in August, we're going to be putting on an event in Thackerville, Oklahoma, and that's going to be headlined by a women's strawweight fight, and that'll be a real doozy. And no offense to John Anik, but the highlights of the presser are when Daniel Cormier and Jon Jones are calling each other cokeheads and pussies and, you know, going deep. And when Kevin Lee charges old Mike Chiesa and throws a right at him, that's what the real highlights of a presser are. And, you know, the UFC, whether you look at them when they were owned by Zuffa or now, is and have been owned by smart businessmen who know how to monetize and take advantage of things. And I am sure that they wish that Magana and Cyborg threw down in a arena where it equals YouTube hits and sponsorship dollars and cash for the UFC. That's a hot take. Another hot take I got from the legal side is, I guess they're like looking into like charging Cyborg with like assault or something. I like read something. It's like, oh, there's a maximum of 6 months in jail or a fine of $5,000 for assault. Like, look, I'm, you know, if you know my background, you know I'm involved in a bunch of legal pursuits, so I'm all about the law, but can we leave the law out? This is just a couple of chicks. I almost used a different word there, and I pulled back. I used my white privilege. A couple of women who were involved in a kerfuffle in Vegas. Is there any reason we have to get the courts involved? I mean, one chick threw, the other chick threw back, and then they challenged each other to like grappling tournaments or something on Twitter. I don't know. And then someone stood up and said she'll fight Angela for Cyborg. I don't know. All of this shit talking. I don't feel like there's any reason to get the courts wrapped up in it. Another hot take, dude. Cyborg, you'd think she would have like thicker skin than this at this point, right? Like, people come at Cyborg with the nasty, like, look, I'm not really a huge fan of Cyborg or anyone who tries to cheat the system with steroids, with a few exceptions like Chael and a couple other people. I like cheaters here and there. Even as much as I like DC, a part of me is a Jon Jones fan a little bit, but I don't know. I feel like, for the most part, the MMA world looks unfavorably at Chris Cyborg, which, look, tweet her with all of your hot takes, but when you're saying stuff like, oh, she has a dick, like, yo, that's just a thing you don't say about a woman, because, I don't know, let's you know, I'm not saying this has got to be, you know, formal here, but let's class MMA up a little bit. Let's not come at female MMA fighters and call them dudes and say they have penises. Like, look, it's fine. Like, I see nothing wrong with what Angela Magana did. I actually just looked up that article, and it is funny. Like, yeah, of course, like, she was doing a thing with kids and kids with cancer. But Angela, her joke wasn't prodding any fun at the kids or cancer or anything like that. And the way Cyborg's face is, like, tilted, and she, and you know, she has those big, big cheeks, sort of like the Jigsaw puppet does. She does look strikingly like the Jigsaw puppet in that picture. That's hilarious. But I don't know, like, people come at Cyborg with some nasty opinions. You would think at this point she would be a little more thick-skinned than let some Jigsaw reference make her throw down more hot.
Yeah, you would think she gets no, I apologize for interrupting. I mean, you would think she gets hit with harder tweets than that about twice a day.
Yeah, and you also, on the other side of it, look at who's tweeting. I mean, if I got a nasty tweet from, like, GSP, I would be, oh my god, he, you know, never talks shit. This is Angela Magana, who's tweeting shit about everybody, like, 24/7. She's, like, the hardest, like, wannabe hardo, like, Facebook troll fighter. She tries to be, you know, like, a chill Sonnen, and comes across a little flatter than I would say he normally does. But yeah, it was, I don't know why. I mean, and like I said, it was just the perfect capstone for a terrible UFC fighter summit that featured, like I said, a drunk Bud Light rep. Cajun Johnson gets kicked out for saying shit bad about Reebok or something, and the UFC, like the Nazis in the 40s, kicked him out for having a differing opinion. I think Al Iaquinta, like, got in a fight with Cajun Johnson and met Mike Perry and probably got kicked out of some shit too, and talked a bunch of shit about the UFC, as was expected. Yara Hall fought some unnamed fighter in what looked like a hallway of the MGM Grand. Just a lot of tomfoolery, a lot of fuckery, a lot of horseplay afoot there at the UFC Fighter Summit. Honestly, it sounded fun. I mean, it was obvious in that video of Uriah Hall that all these fighters were just sauced up to the gills, drunk out of their minds. So that would have been a fun little trip to go and meet other UFC fighters and have a little mini tough experience, get fucked up and act a fool in Las Vegas.
Ooh, good call. Screw Fight Week next year. We got to go to that Fighter Summit. Find out the dates on that.
Right? Fuck yeah. Speaking of, I don't think I mentioned this on the podcast, but I did get tickets to UFC 213. The MMA podcast will be live in Vegas at the MGM Grand that weekend. So if you are in town, drop us a line. Let's get a cool, refreshing beer, and let's do it somewhere in the public at the MGM Grand so you don't stab me and try and chop me up into a bunch of pieces. I'm not trying to go if you're, like, trying to lure me into, like, your room and you want to do, like, some weird sexual shit to me and my body. Just know I'm too savvy to be lured in that easily. I mean, it's still probably very possible, just you would need to put a little bit of effort into it. Yeah, moving along, we got at least one fight announcement of a week where just not a lot happened. Brandon Moreno and Sergio Pettis will be the headliner August 5th in Mexico City. UFC smart putting on some lighter weight guys in Mexico City. We all know what happens when you square off a couple of heavyweights in Mexico City. They're 2 miles up in elevation. Should be a fun fight. A couple up-and-coming guys. I think Pettis has been around a little bit longer, has a little more experience. Moreno maybe a little bit hotter of a name right now. What do you think about that fight?
Yeah, I'm really liking it. Pettis, you know, he had a little bit of a up and down there in the UFC. Didn't quite start off as hot as Showtime did. But since going down to flyweight, I want to say he had an initial setback there. But he has since turned it on. He's won a bunch in a row. I want to say he's on a 4-fight win streak right now. And yeah, Brandon Moreno, another super highly touted flyweight prospect. Certainly got a couple good victories under his belt as well. I'm liking it. It's good to see flyweight fighters headlining an event. And this should be a good scrap too. Both Sergio and Brandon, they're more dynamic. Certainly, if you were to get a finish at the 125 pound class, those guys are both more than capable of doing so. So yeah, I'm really liking that to headline the Mexico City card.
Hell yeah! And I did mention UFC 213 a second ago. We had a little bit of some reshuffling there. It looks like Cody Garbrandt is not going to be able to fight and defend his belt for the first time against TJ Dillashaw. So the bantamweight title is on hold. What's next for Dillashaw is unclear. He won't be fighting at UFC 213. they've tossed around the idea of him fighting for the flyweight champion title against Mighty Mouse, which would be very, very interesting. Would love to see that, especially. I mean, you've really had nobody but Mighty Mouse at 125 for years. So to move Dillashaw down a peg would add more intrigue to that weight class than maybe that weight class has ever seen. So yeah, that would be good. So instead of Garbrandt Dillashaw, which was initially going to be the main event, we have now, once again, Amanda Nunez main eventing International Fight Week for the second year in a row. Last year, it was against then-champion Miesha Tate. This year, she's looking to defend her belt against Valentina Shevchenko, who she did defeat previously before she won her belt. Valentina Shevchenko coming off that big win against Holly Holm and says things are going to be different this time around. And your new co-main event now, I guess, replacing Dillashaw Garbrandt will be an interim championship middleweight, I guess, because Michael Bisping has been holding that belt up. They're going to give a interim belt to the winner of Yoel Romero and am I right? Yeah, it's Yoel Romero and God, I'm trying to load this fight. That's why I did the long drawn out. It's Romero and Brad Whitaker, right?
Yeah.
Robert, not Brad.
Yeah, Robert. Yeah, I literally was thinking Brad Whitaker too. I don't know why. Are we getting Brad Scott and Robert Whitaker? Like, are we just mixing the two fighters or what?
Yeah, I don't know. But you have any? I guess this counts as a fight announcement because it was announced. When did this become news? So yesterday, last night. So we got number one ranked contender Yoel Romero looking to finally put that belt around his waist. Robert Whittaker is a motherfucker. You look at his record, like, it speaks for itself. The guy's got amazing footwork, amazing power. I think I sort of put him in the same place I put guys like Max Holloway and Rose Namajunas and Kelvin Gastelum, in that they might not be champs now, but in a matter of a handful of years, they will likely be on top of their division. Whitaker, I put in that group. I really don't want to sleep on the skills of him at all. But Yoel Romero is going to fucking take his head off at UFC 213, first round KO. Who you got?
Woo! Gee whiz, coming in with the super hot takes. You know what? Man, I love this fight. Like you were saying, Whitaker, since he moved up to 185. I mean, he was knocked out by Wonderboy at 170. Since moving up to 185, has just been demolishing everybody. The hands, the movement, everything's looking
real
crisp.
Dude just knocked out Jacare. Like, what the fuck?
Knocked out Jacare. Man, Jacare and completely nullified the ground game. Was able to avoid the ground game completely with Jacare. That was such an amazing performance. You know, this is a really... I want to say, oh man, I don't know if you can say that this is a tougher fight. This is at least as tough a fight with Romero. I want to say, man, Romero, he's the hands are so heavy. He's got good technical striking himself, but ooh, that movement of Whitaker, that really, I think he's just a little bit more fluid. The X factor is just that Olympic gold medal caliber wrestling that Yoel Romero possesses. Will Whitaker be able to deal with that? Will he be able to avoid that? He was able to shut down Souza in his grappling attempts, and he is just one of the best the UFC has ever seen. So he's getting two of the best grapplers the UFC's ever seen back-to-back. And Romero, the hands are... I mean, Jacare has great striking as well, but the striking, especially the hands, we've seen a couple flying knee knockouts from Jacare, at least two in the UFC alone, and breaking jaws with his hands. The striking is just as vicious as well. We saw what he was able to do to Machida. If he is able to take it down, he took Machida down and put him to sleep in a matter of seconds with a series of destructive elbows. Man, it's going to be a great fight. It's going to be a great fight. I think I need a little bit more time to go over this one before I can really begin to call it. But very close, very fun and intriguing scrap for the middleweight strap there, or for the interim middleweight strap there.
Yeah, and they say interim strap. Please do not think for a minute that the winner of this is not the undisputed champ. Champion. These are the two best middleweights in the world. I don't care if you gave Michael Bisping 10 fights against Whitaker and 10 fights against Yoel. I think he'd go 0-20.
Ow.
Yeah, sorry, Mike. You historically had a great career, deserved to be in the Hall of Fame, but right now, I mean, look who he's defended his belt against. Like, Dan Henderson? What? Like, what? W-U-T? What? Yeah, these are the two best middleweights. Don't get it twisted. I guess, what does that bring us to our last topic, which is UFC Fight Night 109. I think that's the only event this weekend. Last weekend, there was a Bellator card. There were two cards. I didn't get to it last week, but, like, it was one, which was, I mean, it... Like, yes, I just gave Bellator a lot of praise, but what a kind of letdown of a weekend where you have two events. One is in England, and you show on tape delay, which I don't care how fucked up the timing is going to be. I hate the idea of airing fights in tape delay. In this day and age where everyone's connected to your phone and you're supposed to stay away from Twitter, and which I did, you know, it was a hassle, but I stayed away from social media and all that because I didn't want anything to get spoiled. Not showing fights live in 2017 is preposterous. And what, their second card, they didn't even, like, air it on TV, which I don't know what the point. And, you know, when you're a promotion of Bellator's caliber, why you're even putting on events that you're not going to air? It was like some like NASCAR, Bellator, Monster Energy race car. I don't know if they were like on top of race cars fighting or fighting in race cars. If it was some sort of demolition derby type thing where they're trying to smash one another up. If they're actually fighting on the track of a live race car, I have no idea what went down, and unfortunately none of you will either, because they didn't put it on TV or anywhere. They just sort of did it. Four fights with eight no-name guys, And that's just a weird move. Like I said, when you're the UFC or Bellator, the whole point of being a big company like that is you have a lot of value behind your name. So you only put on big events. You don't put on random, shitty, untelevised events at the Charlotte Motor Speedway where you have two guys fighting, trying to dodge cars in some racetrack where they're like doing NASCAR or some shit. I don't know. Bellator, you're doing well, but step your shit up, son. I'm very much looking forward to Bellator 180, though. That's, man, that, you know, I am very pumped for UFC 213 and 214, but that is up there as far as fights I'm pumped, or cards I'm pumped to see. You got Fedor, you got, of course, Chael versus Vanderlei, which we've been waiting on for years. The debut of Aaron Pico. That will be a lot of fun. I'm jealous for anyone who's going to be up there in New York City for those shenanigans. Brings us back to the point. Only one event this weekend, UFC Fight Night 109. Gustafson versus Teixeira. Pat, you made the funny observation, which I share too. I feel like these guys have fought before. They haven't. They were scheduled to headline UFC Fight Night 69 back in June 2015. However, Gustafson pulled out to that fight due to injury. And I think, interestingly enough, back then, Glover Teixeira was the favorite going into that fight. Now you have Alex Gustafson, not just as the favorite, but as a giant one. I think he's like minus 300. As far as breaking down the fight, I think, you know, he's a big favorite for a reason. He's got the length, takes very good advantage of the length, has fought guys with big power like Glover a ton of times and seems to do well as far as clawing that power. Gus, I mean, it sucks. He's lost three of his last five, but consider this. Those three losses were UFC 165, a back-and-forth scrap fest with John Jones that's thought of as maybe the best fight at 205 ever, and a TKO loss to Rumble, which I don't care who you are. I don't discredit you whatsoever for getting knocked out by the heaviest hitter in the history of the sport, Rumble Johnson. It's a shame he's not fighting anymore, but yeah, got KO'd by Rumble, which I'm not blaming you that much for. And I think there was a little bit of controversy around that, too. I think there was an alleged headbutt or knocking of heads or something. And he fought Daniel Cormier for the UFC Light Heavyweight Championship and a Fight of the Year candidate that actually went to a split decision. As dominant as DC has been, Alex brought him to a split. That fight against John Jones, it wasn't a split, but it was so close it felt like one. And then getting KO'd by Rumble, which could happen to anyone. I don't care if you're the best fighter in the world like John Jones. John, I think John might be luckier than he realizing escaping the fate to ever have to fight Rumble if Rumble does indeed stay retired. But that's a whole nother subject. But yeah, Gus is a favorite for good reason here. The only thing I really think is semi-interesting is when he got knocked out by Rumble, that was probably his worst performance. That was January 2015. That was his only fight in the last 5 years in Sweden, Stockholm, where he's from. And I made the observation when he was just walking out to the cage that it looked like Alex was kind of like bug-eyed and almost like kind of a little bit too hyped up and in the moment. And I could be way off, but I think something about being in front of his home crowd fucked with him in a bad way the last time around. And I'm going to be looking for that this time around. Do I expect it to happen again? Not at all, just because Gus is such a high-level fighter. I think whatever jitters he may have been dealing with, and again, this could be totally made up in my head, but if I am right, and he was dealing with kind of a little, he looked anxious walking out to the cage. Him being such a high level pro, I'm sure he has addressed it and moved on. But yeah, a fight against Glover. Gus 2-3 in his last five. Glover 4-1 in his last five. His only loss, a KO loss to guess who? Rumble Johnson. That one only being 13 seconds long. God, it's a shame that Anthony Johnson isn't fighting anymore. Yeah, Glover just beat Jared Cannonier at UFC 208. Gus hasn't fought since beating Jan Blachowicz in September 2016. I got Gus all day in this one. And frankly, I don't know. There are some interesting fights on the card, some close fights, some talent you might want to look at, but we're not going to dive into the entire card. We are going to talk main event, Gus Glover. I got Gus, obviously, all day. Pat, who do you have in this one?
Jake, I'm taking the Mahler as well.
Hell yeah.
You know what? I feel I would have taken the Mahler even back when they were first slated to fight back in 2015. I'm a big fan of Gustafson and his style. You know, very striking heavy. He's been known to finish an opponent or two in good fashion, which I certainly always enjoy. And same could be said for Glover Teixeira. Love watching him fight. Certainly a guy that he's either finishing or very rarely getting finished. I want to say also Anthony Johnson made quick work of Glover as well. I want to say that's Glover's only more recent fight or only more recent loss. He's got he had a good winning streak going into that one. But for this one, yeah, I think, you know, Glover is just, he's not quite as big as Johnson. And so Gustafson, as you mentioned, Jake, he's good. Not quite John Jones good, but man, he's good at using that length. You know, there's a lot of fighters that just don't fight as long as they should. No one can ever say that of Gustafson. I mean, look at the beautiful, knockout he got against Jimmy Manoa. A guy who's 6'3 or something, and Jimmy Manoa knocked him out with a beautiful knee. He's got some good dexterity for being 6'5 or whatever he is. I really think those knees, I mean, we saw him hurt Daniel Cormier with those knees, almost end it in that split decision loss with Daniel Cormier with those knees. I think he can put it on you with those. He can put it on you with the hands. He's got some good solid hands. Ever since his loss way back in the day to Phil Davis, you know, he spent years training with Phil Davis, shoring up the wrestling and the grappling, and it certainly come a long way. So I don't know if he's really going to be able to get him to the ground. If Teixeira is going to be able to get Gustafson to the ground, unless he maybe stuns him first, but. Yeah, I think Gustafson, he's going to be able to use that length. He's going to be able to use that reach. And I think he's going to put it on Teixeira pretty early. And I think he's going to get a little redemption at the Erickson Globe for the last time he was there. I see a first-round knockout over Teixeira.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going first-round knockout. I think Glover might be able to survive the rounds, but I'm thinking like 49-46 decision. Keep your eye on the co-main event too. We talked a couple weeks ago about Gazimurad Antigulov, another guy with a weird name who's a prospect at 205 in a division that needs him. Misha Sirkunov. I think the UFC like released him, and then all the fans were like, "What the fuck?" And then they signed him back. So, Sirkunov is back, has an awesome record. Dude, I believe, is like on a 8 fight win streak for those since joining the UFC. Most recently, a submission win against Nikita Krylov. definitely keep your eyes on Misha Sirkunov, who I'm sure I can look up the odds right now. I'm sure is a favorite, like huge. Yeah, he's -450. Yeah, definitely, definitely will. I don't know. I don't know if I'll be able to catch it live. I know it's going down at a weird time. I think it's going down like Sunday, and the main card starts, I believe, at 1 PM on the East, 10 AM on the West. I might actually have like friends in town, but I'll for sure at the very least be sure to catch the main and co-main. Bringing us to next week, which should, I guess we'll be breaking down UFC 212, that fun Aldo Holloway card going down in Brazil. Max looking to fight Jose Waldo. You got anything else for the people before we put a bow on this one? The good people.
What? The good people. Got nothing in love, nothing but love for the good people, Jake. Nothing but love for you, my man. Always a pleasure breaking down the scrap adapts. Very much so. Looking forward to some sweetest scrapping this Saturday or Sunday, depending on what time zone you're viewing it from. Or well, no, it's all going to be Sunday. But yeah, thank you for having me, good sir. Always
some
a pleasure.
Sweet scraps. Follow Pat on Twitter at SweetPappyJones. And like he said on TMP 200, stay healthy. Keep your nose to the grindstone. I'm going to make that a thing. And, yeah, we appreciate you listening. We'll catch you next week. We love the shit out of you. And until then, we gone.
Shout out to Jake.
Tune into the MMA podcast every Tuesday night.
Fuck all y'all.
Act the wild style, always been a foul child.
Will I, sucker? I'll be the coming out number.
The MMA podcast, Jake is the host. And since Ramsey's been in the wheelchair, the Aunt Jimmy show has been on the road. I wanna say John Jones is a hoe, so I think that I'll pick up the phone and dial 213-457-3380. We got hot takes on the stove. You get blood on your clothes if you're sitting in the front row. I throw on my gi and then I lace the hoops. I'll have Gal lying down cause he ain't the truth. And if Allen wasn't a cop, I'd make mention you, and shout out to Ross Finkelstein the Jew, cause according to you, you're an MMA guru, I'll prove Bisping lost his hands, Count Dooku, if you're a fancy boy, you get a 2-minute slot, mystery wants a title shot, so listen to the MMA podcast, throw a high kick, but I flop that, call me Diaz, screaming George, where you at, I want the strap. But you know that I'll never tap. So listen to the MMA podcast. Throw a high kick, but I flop that. Call me Diaz, screaming George, where you at? I want the strap. Can you know that I won't tap?
Mystery. The MMA podcast. Most of us just live and breathe this fighting shit.
Shout out to Jake. Shout out to Jake.